Thank you. Thank you all very much. I appreciate the opportunity to once again visit and talk a little bit about what's going on in the community. I'll give you the most update. We've got 32,000 residents out of power already, and we're moving north. LG&E pulled all their crews off the poles in the western part of the state as a result of the wind and the potential tornado. We've got another about an hour of this to put up with, and unfortunately, it's not. You want me to look one way to get the pictures, and then you guys can relax. Unfortunately, I don't know. It depends on how you see it. It's not this sort of sheer wind. It's these incredible bursts of energy that are just enough to bring down the limb hanging at the top of that tree that didn't come down, and literally has come down. So 30,000 plus, great difficulty after what we've just been through as a community. Having said that, I think most of you should feel awfully good about the men and women who worked for us over the last week and a half. I mean, they have really, really put out the time. When you have over 200,000 people out of power, when you have the number of trees that we had down, when you have the number of wires that were wrapped around those trees, when you have the number of people in, 8-degree weather who have got to get out of their house, the way this community, as we always do, pulled together, the way the men and women who work for your city government went out in the night and in the day and in the next day and in the night to get the streets clean from the snow, which then was ice and then was snow again, to be able to keep the streets open, to be able to literally begin to get the trees cut. In fact, speaking of a tree, we had one down today that literally blocked an elementary school in town. I guess the elementary schools get out about 3:40 and must have gone down around 3:30. And literally, the buses couldn't get in, couldn't get out. The teachers couldn't get in, couldn't get out. The parents couldn't get in, couldn't get out. So we sent a crew out there, and unfortunately, it had a wire wrapped around it. So LG&E, we had to wait for LG&E, and we don't move trees until wires are either moved or somebody tells us for sure they're not hot. So we worked on all those things over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, in what was, the second of two natural disasters we've had in this community in 5.5 months. I mean, you think about that. I sort of look at it as two natural disasters, Billy, within one fiscal year, because we gotta pay for whatever FEMA doesn't pay for. But remember, folks, back in September, the same fiscal year we're in today, back in September, we had over 300,000 people without power. Now, the good thing about that was the next morning and the day after, and the day after it was in the 60s and it was in the 70s. And many of us who didn't have power were able to open our windows, sit out on our porches. Some even had an opportunity to revisit with their kids. I know I did, be able to teach him Monopoly again. So there was some positive, I guess, in terms of the weather being bright and light, and we sort of went through it as a community, but it was still tough. And if you think that we were able to resolve all that after that storm, you should have driven by some of our drop-off centers where we had the debris that we picked up in that storm that we still have not chipped up, and we've been chipping it because we've got a company down in Hawesville that's buying the sawdust to burn, to be able to recycle, to be able to make paper down in the western Kentucky. But we still had lots and lots, we still have lots and lots of stuff left, and then here we go again. And as you know, we opened up three drop-off centers, staffed drop-off centers, plus as of Monday, we started going door to door, and we'll do every street and every block in Louisville, Jefferson County, and pick up whatever you got between the sidewalk and the street. Having said that, we stopped doing that today because we put all our crews on watch for when the winds brought the trees down. We wanted to make sure we get the roads open. So it has been difficult, but we, again, this community came together in terms of shelters, the Red Cross volunteers. I don't know how many of you all are Red Cross volunteers or have had an experience with the Red Cross, but if you're not a volunteer and if you've ever thought of doing something for your community, I would submit to you that there's not a better way to spend your time than to be a part of the Red Cross organization, because the way they spring into action, the way our fire department showed up to put up all the cots, The way they store those cots, they're ready to go. The food is there. They've got the folks organized. We had Walnut Street Baptist Church. We set up the YMCA to be able to take showers for those who needed to go to showers. We set up one floor at the Walnut Street Baptist Church for those with special needs. We say special needs, what's that mean? It means when somebody is going to get out of the hospital. Think about this. You know, you've had your gallbladder taken out, and, you know, you've been there a day or whatever it takes these days. And then all of a sudden it's time to go home, except it's 22 degrees in your home because there's no heat. What are you going to do? And you still need a little care. So we had over 50 people on the floor helping, and we brought in our health department with our docs and our nurses, Vicki, who helped from the health department, and got some volunteers that helped there too. So the Red Cross, and then we opened up a second shelter in Iroquois High School. So you bet. We didn't have very many. Ended up about 27 spent the night with us for a couple of nights as compared to 400 at the other. But we still felt we needed to take a step further. And again, all the people that you see with those Red Cross vests, anytime you're watching television or for Dan, where's Dan? Dan, for you, if there's a photo in the newspaper with a person with a red vest, with a vest with a Red Cross, those are all volunteers. They're just people like you and me. When we brought the folks in from Ike and put 1,500 people out at the fairgrounds, that happened this year too. And we set up the showers and we set up the food and we set up the things for the kids to do. We had 1,500 people. You know, remember the Kentucky Kingdom opened their doors for free and the bats let them in to go for free, and I had to go down and pick up a few out of jail to get them back on the plane to get them home for free, and all those kinds of things that even some people missed. I didn't miss it. We had to do it. We even had somebody that was so screwy, they're the last plane leaving. It's a guy and his mother, and they get into a fight while they're walking out the door. And I mean a knockdown, drag-out fight. Pulled them both out. They put them in a squad car, started taking them downtown. And all of a sudden, it dawned on somebody, this was the last plane. So they called me. I called the police. Police chief called the guy. We brought him back, got him on the plane, sent him home to New Orleans, and wished him well. This community takes care of ours, and this community takes care of those who are in need. I wanted to talk a little bit about, speaking of need, what's happening in this community today. And I, as I look around this room, many of you know it as well as I do. We're having a significant problem in America today in terms of unemployment, in terms of the economy. The month of December, we had 16,000 people in Louisville, Jefferson County lose their jobs. In the month of December, we had 25,255 Louisville, Jefferson Countyans file for unemployment insurance. That was double what it was the month before. So things are difficult, and many of us who are in the public service business interact with an awful lot of people who are going through difficulties, and I'm sure there are probably very few people in this room today who do not know someone who has been affected by the downturn in the economy. A loved one, a family member, or a friend who simply is unemployed as a result, not of a result of what he or she has done, but as a result of the economy. I was at the unemployment office the other day, and I was standing in line. There were hundreds of people were filing. I met several people who had never been in unemployment line before, Rocky, never. I met a guy who was in charge of global outsourcing. I don't know what that means for Yum Brands. Sounded pretty impressive to me. He was there in a jacket and tie, looked like he was about 40, 45. First time in his whole life he was unemployed. So we've got a lot of people that are hurting. And I've had the opportunity as one of the mayors to meet several times now with President-elect at the time and now President Obama to sort of talk about the issues that we're reading about and we're hoping for in terms of the stimulus package. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that so that we're all understanding the same factual situation, and we all understand how important this package and what it's going to mean to this community and this state and this nation is to the future of this country. Let me first say that the first time I met with President-elect Obama was up in Chicago, where he invited a dozen mayors 6-7 weeks ago to visit with him and with his alter ego, a woman by the name of Valerie Jarrett, to talk about what was happening in cities. And we had mayors there from Salt Lake City to Denver, from Los Angeles to Boston, Atlanta to Chicago, myself, talking about what our communities were going through and talking about the importance of getting people back to work. And what I thought was very interesting at that time is that all of the mayors and the staff of, at that time, President-elect Obama, who was there, we were all talking about getting people back to work, and we were focusing on, in our mindset, sort of the WPA kind of an approach. Let's get people back to work. Let's get them building the things we need. I mean, go out Frankfurt Avenue. Look at the waterworks. You know, go to the building right behind the county courthouse. The fiscal court building, those were all built, those were all WPA projects. Look at so many of the old libraries. And so we were thinking that way, and I'll never forget the president-elect, he was right on target. He said, that's great and that's important and we need to do that. But at the same time, we need to realize that a lot of people who are being laid off, who are unemployed, don't know how and aren't interested in learning how to run a backhoe, to drive a Caterpillar tractor. You know, they're not prepared tomorrow or interested or have the background or physical ability to go out and be a carpenter or a plumber or a construction worker. And therefore, he said, one of the things I'm going to try to focus on is ensuring that in the package we submit, there is a significant slug of dollars for training. Because the reality is, in some industries in this country, the jobs that are being lost are not going to come back. In many industries, they are, and they'll grow and they'll blossom and they'll expand. But in many industries, those jobs are not going to come back. So the question is, what do you do with those American citizens who want to work? And the answer is, you develop a training program. In this community, it's called the Kentuckiana Works, where you reach out to folks who are ready to be retrained, because the day of starting at Ford and ending at Ford, you hope it's still there. You'll certainly be there in terms of jobs, but the reality is most people will change their jobs more than 2, 3, 4 times during their lifetime. The old days of working at GE, of working in the same law firm, of working at the same newspaper, those days are over because things are changing so quickly. People make changes in their lives. And so you're constantly educating and re-educating yourself to be able to take the jobs of tomorrow. I'm sure when the success comes and we begin the, well, when we announce the new Ford vehicles that'll be made at the assembly plant, and the hundreds of millions of dollars that's going to be invested there to restructure the entire process and to build a new platform out there, you know, maybe, who knows, nobody knows this yet, maybe there'll be an electric battery car that'll be a part of that experience. And if so, people are going to have to retrain in terms of how do you handle a car now that you're building it that is a battery-driven car rather than a gasoline-driven car. It's a constant change that has to occur. And so the president-elect saw that, and if you look at both the Senate and the House bill, there's a significant number of billions of dollars specifically set aside for training. We also felt, and the next time I met with the president-elect, was at George Mason University in Virginia, where he rolled out the stimulus package in terms of concepts. And I was there with about 8 or 10 mayors and about 6 or 7 governors. And that was the first time that I had a chance to meet the lead economic team that President Obama has put together. The former president of Harvard University, Larry Summers, the former head of the New York Fed, now Secretary Geithner, Secretary of the Treasury, and a lady who, she and her husband are economists at Berkeley, who has written extensively on tax structure and things of that nature, who is now the head of the Council of Economic Advisors. Her name is Rome. And they talked to us about what their game plan was as they were putting together the package to look forward. And you began to hear from them a lot of things that we normally think of as Republicanisms, meaning, you know, along with investment in infrastructure, along with building roads, along with building schools, modernizing and building schools, along with building bridges, along with upgrading the HVACs and the energy consumption in buildings throughout this country, along with working on foreclosures and housing problems that are occurring, There also needs to be some tax benefits to get businesses to begin buying more more machinery, extending more inventory opportunities for those. Thinking in terms of a tax benefit for you as a parent if your child is in college. Thinking about a tax benefit for you if you're going to buy a home. And both the Senate and the House bill has a significant tax benefit. Thinking about an opportunity for a tax benefit if you're going to buy a car, which is in the Senate bill, interestingly enough, not the House bill. I think it was all your sales tax and all your interest on the purchase of a vehicle in the year 2009 end up being, I think, tax credits. So all of a sudden, you began to see a group of individuals who were willing to create a balanced approach that would focus on tax benefits to spur business growth and expansion, even a tax benefit for a company that is hiring individuals. You get a tax credit, you finally get Ray Kreider a job, and the next thing you know, you get a $500 tax credit for your company because you went out and got Ray Kreider out of his house to do something, you know? So those are the kinds of things that are in there. So it's a stimulus package that literally creates an opportunity for this country to believe that over time, significant amounts of jobs would be created. Now, what did we do in this community in preparation? We sat down with our sewer leadership in the Metropolitan Sewer District, leadership in the water company, in the transit authority, in the roads and bridges in our public works department, in the airport, in the school system, in the university, in the community college. And we said, okay, show us shovel-ready projects that can be let in 90 to 120 days and completed in 24 months. That's the way the president's folks said they wanted us set up. And that's what we did. And this community submitted $650 million package that would create 18,000 jobs. 18,000 jobs. 18,000 jobs would bring down the unemployment rate by close to 3%. You know, we're at 7 plus. Bring it down 3% if we could get 18,000 jobs. Now, that's if we got everything that we had asked for. And the mayors across the country submitted all of the responses, as did the governors. The governors throughout the United States submitted projects, road projects, et cetera. So the hope is that as the ultimate decision, now that the Senate has passed, and now the House has passed, and someone said today, although I haven't heard, that they were very close to resolving the whole thing. Did that happen, Marty? Did it get resolved? Good, good. And Congressman Yarmuth has done just a superb job in representing this community in terms of focusing the attention on getting people back to work and focusing the attention on what we need in this country for our future. Because there is no question in my mind, I don't know how you all, what you think about this, but I don't think the American people realize how close we are to the edge. And as a result, it is a very frightening thing to think about if, in fact, we were unable to get our act together. Now, at the same time, you saw the president submit what he was going to do with the remaining $350, give or take, billion dollars for the financial institutions. And although the Secretary of the Treasury got a little static for not being as specific as some would have liked, the reality is that half that money, $350 billion, has been spent already with our banks and already with our financial institutions. And most people agree that the credit markets have not eased up. In fact, many of the banks can't seem to explain to the American people where the money went. You know, and then somebody the other day said, well, all they did was use it to buy banks. Well, the reality is, in this community, PNC bought National City. And they probably did use some of the dollars to buy National City. But if you happen to be a National City bank customer, the situation of ensuring that you were protected and the consolidation of the banks would ensure a financial base for us to grow from was a very important aspect. But what Bush did wrong, as most economists will tell you, is they held nobody accountable. There was no transparency. There was no requirements in terms of how the money was spent. It just was, the sky was falling, now was the time you needed to invest. And then they'd let this company, like Merrill Lynch, go into a bank, like Bank of America, but they let this company, Lehman Brothers, which had been an investment banking house for centuries, just go bankrupt. So there was no rhyme or reason. I think what you're going to find with the President Obama's team and the way it was framed up yesterday is that there will be clear, there will be transparency, there will be opportunities to ensure that people more than likely will be able to stay in their homes through the foreclosure situation. There'll be a focus on the attention of making sure that if you're going to take the government money, you're going to, in fact, loan that money, and you'll be able to see that. People will be able to watch that. And if you're going to take the money, you're not going to get $100 million bonuses, and you're not going to make $100 million a year. I mean, all the kinds of things that I think, unfortunately, the American people got off on such a wrong track with the last 6 months of the Bush administration, and we lost $350 billion. And, you know, we're all sort of getting sensitive or callous to that B number. You know, you did a billion here, billion there. I mean, what the heck? It's just another billion. The money comes from us, ultimately. The money comes from our kids and our grandkids, ultimately. And so it will have an effect as time goes by in terms of what else we're able to do with the dollars we pay in our taxes for the future of this country. This investment is beyond what Eisenhower did in the 50s for the interstate highway system. That's the kind of major, major investment that's being proposed by the stimulus package. And we're going to participate in it. We're going to be involved in it to make sure things go forward. Ray wanted to know about our senior senator, what he doesn't understand about that. You'd have to ask him. I don't know. I don't know. Our two senators voted against it. Let's hope that when it comes back, after an agreement from the conference committee, that they'll vote for it. And if they don't, let's at least hope two people from Maine and one from Pennsylvania do vote for it. And as long as the ladies from Maine and the gentleman from Pennsylvania vote for it, we'll be able to go forward. I'll tell you one other thing, and then I'll stop, because you all probably want to ask some questions. You know, there are some good things happening. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I mean, if I see a glass, I'll always tell you it's half full. I will never tell you it's half empty. I am a positive thinking person, and I like to look on the positive side of issues. And there are some good things going on in this community and in this country. In this community, there has been growth in several industries. The healthcare industry continues to hire. I mean, Humana picked up another 1,000 people over the last year or so. You know, Zermed is building a high-rise building, and they're growing like leaps and bounds, another healthcare, IT, informatics kind of business. Healthcare, education, look what's going on at the University of Louisville. Look at the investment happening at the community college. Look at the opportunities in the logistics business that continues to grow here with our good fortune of having UPS. You know, there are a lot of good things going on. They're expanding not only at UPS, but they're expanding at the university college program. We've got more young people getting a free ride to college by simply working at UPS at night. Free books, free fees, free tuition, free. And they can go on to be doctors or lawyers or business people, wherever they want to be. They don't have to dress in brown the rest of their life. But that program continues to grow and expand, and more people are being educated. University of Louisville had the best class it's ever had in terms of students, the quality of the students at Bellarmine, at Spalding. More and more investment in this education experience has been working out exceptionally well. And the same thing is happening with our public schools. And let me just close with saying I was in Frankfurt today, which is always a very interesting experience. I mean, it's one of those things you got to do. And I hope everybody's watching very, very clearly, because there are a lot of tough issues. You know, it's one thing for me to tell you I'm $20 million in the hole, and the council and I are going to have to make this up before we get to June 30th. It's another thing for me to tell you we're almost $490 million in the hole, and Governor Beshear and the legislature has to make it up within this year. It's not the biennium that shortfall. It's 1 year of the biennium, $480, $70 million. And the kinds of issues that are going on up there are the kinds of issues that, as informed citizens and people who believe in public issues and public policy, you need to keep an eye on. Because not only are the dollars and cents in the budget going up, there's a lot of moving and shaking going on regarding a bill here and a bill there that sort of slips through and the slips there. And the next thing you know, we in Louisville are bound to do this or we can't do that as a result of some of the wild hares that are flying around up in Frankfurt. So I hope that you will keep in touch with your legislators and keep in touch with the issues of the day so that each of them understands they're a part of this community. And together, you know, they make our delegation. And with the leadership of Larry Clark, whom I met with, and the leadership of so many of the other folks who have been working, we're trying to bring those folks together as a delegation and speak as a community so that when we need them for investments in this community, they'll be there. And when we need them to be able to stop things that out in the state they want to do to this community, we need you all to speak out on those kinds of issues too. So let me stop, and they told me to speak for half an hour. I spoke for a little longer than half an hour. But I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. Yes, sir. You know, there's a great, too. The question is, when I talked about investments in Louisville, I talked pretty much about public works projects. And by the way, those aren't done by public employees. You bid the sewer work that needs to be done. We're required, we've signed a consent decree with EPA to do $800 million worth of sewer work to separate our drainage sewers from our sanitary sewers, which in the older part of the city are one. And so we'll bid all those out and private businesses will get them. But the question he asked is, what about the university? What about the healthcare industry? Are there opportunities for investment there? There's a significant amount of money committed in both the Senate and the House bill that focuses on medical information, getting it off the paper and getting it into informatics, into technology. And then they'll create a regulatory system so that they'll give the money, this is my gut, they'll give the money for the creation of these systems in the hospitals. And then they'll give the opportunity for doctors to participate in those, and those who do will receive probably 100% back on their Medicare submittals for payment, and those who choose to stay with paper will probably, if I had to bet, a regulatory process, get 5% less as a way to incent private doctors to engage with the university system to be able to put that into effect. The second thing is in terms of medical research. There's funding in there, a significant amount of money, about $10 billion was placed in, interestingly enough, by the senator from Pennsylvania, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania, who voted for the bill, $10 billion for the National Institute of Health. And then the third thing is, we have in our projects, what's the building, Carl, that's at JCC, the tall building they're ready to refurbish, the Hartford building? For laboratories and things of that nature, they're ready to go. They've got the plans, they've got the design. We've got that as one of our projects. We have several out at the university where they need additional classroom space. So yes, that's all part and parcel of that approach. Yes, sir. In terms of our $20,000 or $20 million, yeah. No, that's a good question. The question is, are you a U of L grad?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I was going to give you the head economist who worked with us on this and to try to show you that I'm not so sure a lot of people predicted it. But anyway, here's what we did. The question from the gentleman was, $20 million, we found ourselves to be, in terms of a shortfall for this budget, how come we didn't predict it earlier? Which is a very legitimate question. Last year's budget came in $13.5 million short of what had been predicted for that year in terms of revenues. And as a result of that, we had to find in the last 6 months $13.5 million. We had to cut. This year's budget, we projected with the help of the lead economist at the University of Louisville as well as our finance team, we predicted the lowest growth in revenues of any of the years I've ever presented a budget. I'm in my 20th year. So the lowest percentage, thinking that, yes, the economy was going to flatten, not tank, flatten, and we felt that there'd be about a 2.567, I can't remember exactly what it was, increase in revenues. In fact, after the first quarter is when we realized that it not only was not going up 2.6 or 7, but it was going down 1%. So that's a 4% swing, okay? We saw those numbers after the first quarter. The council, in fact, Vicki, you remember, and David, you remember, invited the economists to come in and speak He, as well as our people, went through the analysis of what we did. But remember, almost 60% of our revenues come from occupation tax. So if people are working, we're rocking and rolling. If people aren't working, if layoffs are occurring, if businesses are shutting down, it affects us just like that. I mean, just like that. And that's exactly what happened. And the second quarter has come in, and it is brought us right in line the same way. So that's how we went through the process. That's the analysis we did. Now, the good news is, unlike Philadelphia, we have not closed three-quarters of our libraries. The good news is, like Atlanta, we've not had to furlough all the police officers for one day every week. The good news is, unlike Atlanta, we haven't had to ask everybody to take a 10% cut in salaries. Just my top 30 employees, we took a 10% cut in salary.
So are we going to get new economic people guiding us in the future?
You mean the economists?
We're firing them. We need new people that are more accurate in their predictions.
Forecasters, you're talking about. You're talking about forecasters. Well, I guess you and I are going to have to disagree, because I don't know of many. What I was trying to show you, whether it was Philadelphia or Chicago, whether it was New York or Boston, and Bloomberg knows something about finance, whether it was Miami or whether it was Denver, all of us in this year, to a less or a larger extent, and let me say ours was to a lesser extent than every city I just mentioned, came in incorrect in terms of the forecasting. So I would say our group did as good as they could with the information they had, but it happened. I mean, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Yes, sir.
Will the stimulus package affect the bridge project?
Good question. Will the stimulus package affect the bridge project? A couple of things. One, since, as you heard me say, you had to have it ready in 90 to 120 days and had to be complete in 24 months, we did not submit the bridges and the reconstructive Spaghetti Junction. Having said that, in the Senate bill, not the House bill, but in the Senate bill, there is a line item of, I want to say, about $6 billion that is specifically set aside for, I can't remember the exact language, but it was like nationally significant projects. The Department of Transportation has listed Louisville's two bridges in the reconstruct as one of the three or four biggest, most important national, whatever the term I just said, national significant projects. So our hope is, in answer to your question, that if that survives the conference, they'll set up a competitive approach on how to request those dollars, and we'll get in the queue and see if we can meet that standard. But we did not submit it when we submitted the $650 million ready-to-go projects. Does that make sense? Well, you know, it was a terrible morning. I got a call that night at 2 in the morning. I got awakened, and that was because there was a senior citizen nursing home out near Prospect, might have been in Prospect, that had their lights on, but for whatever reason, their generator went on at the same time and blew the whole thing. In other words, they didn't need the generator because the lights were already on. So it was 2 o'clock in the morning. It was 7 degrees that morning. So we had to find locations for 83 or 90 individuals in other nursing homes. 25 of them we took out on cots. The rest of them we put in buses and took them to other centers. And our emergency management group, we have the phone numbers of all the nursing homes all in this community to be able to literally begin to make the calls. So that started at 2:30 in the morning. And then when I got the call at 6 o'clock in the morning saying that the coal barge had hit the Sherman Bridge, that's when I was thinking frogs and locusts must be coming next. Because literally, I mean, the whole world's going to hell, it seemed like. The answer to your question is, I got a lot of people. I didn't get a lot. I got several people who called and or emailed and said, now I get it, Mayor, the importance of getting these bridges and reconstructive Spaghetti Junction done. Every time something like that happens, it really is a major thrust to go forward. And, you know, we have requesting in Frankfurt. In fact, I met with several of the committee chairs that will be dealing with this in the Senate and the House side today, the authority legislation. Where we want to create this bi-state authority where we'll have some, Indiana have some, They'll be appointed and they'll be able to create the opportunity to, what does it take to build the bridges? We're now better than 40% of the roads built in the last 10 years in this country were built with tolls. That's the way it's going to go, if it's going to go, unless we get a significant slug of that American significant project money. And we're hopeful. Indiana, we were in the Indiana legislature. They seem to be positive. We were with the Kentucky delegations today. They seem to, the Kentucky legislators, they seem to be positive. So we're hoping to be able to get to the point where we can create an authority, which is what other communities do. It's not, you know, it's the same old, except we're just getting there a little late. And get this thing built, get it done in my lifetime. What did I do? Say that again.
What'd you do with all that money Ann got for that bridge?
Ann who? Yeah. Huh?
Do you know the amount of money, say, percentage?
The question is, do I know the percentage of money that will be spent on infrastructure? I have not seen, and I don't think it's in print yet. If there was an agreement today, we'll have to see what the House and the Senate. For example, the House bill had $14 billion in it for school modernization. The Senate bill had none. So if you ask me, you know, what's the percentage, I couldn't tell you because I don't know what it's going to ultimately be. But I'll bet you there is some money. I mean, I don't know, but I would think that it makes a lot of sense to put people to work immediately in this community. I think Dr. Dashner, I don't remember the exact figure. Anybody remember the figure that he had submitted? Do you remember it, Jim? What he had submitted? Oh, Jim. Hey, Jim King. 40% infrastructure on what? The House bill? On the House bill. 40%. But what I was asking is, do you remember how many dollars Dr. Dashner had submitted to me? I mean, Dr. Berman, excuse me. 32 million? Okay, it was a couple of bucks. Yes, sir. The question is, what kind of plans are being made? First thing, it won't take 16 months. At least that's not what they're telling me. They're telling you 16 months? That's not what they're telling me. But anyway, the answer to your question is, these guys still get paid in line with the agreement that they have with the company, a significant portion of their salary, and we'll get our tax off that. Well, I got enough problems to deal with. I'm not ready yet to take on my friend, Mr. Gettelfinger. I wouldn't take him on. I support the heck out of him. You know, I meant to tell you, one of the people that was with us at George Mason College was the woman governor of Michigan, whose name escapes me. Granholm. She is dynamite. And when she knew I was from Louisville, she came over and introduced herself and said, "Do you know Ronnie Gettelfinger?" And I said, "You bet I know Ronnie." She said, "He's great." She just couldn't say enough positive things about him. Ronnie Gettelfinger, by the way, for those of you who don't know, was working here in our plants and is now the head of the UAW of this country, which is a big, big deal, I think. So, I mean, he's been to these club meetings. We go that far back when Ronnie was here, huh?
Big union boss.
Big union boss. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. You know, the two bills don't agree. You know, there's still a lot of people who would like to get the bankruptcy law changed so that a part of bankruptcy would give a judge the opportunity to restructure your loan. But one of the bills, and I can't remember which one, does have a portion, does have a commitment in there for funding to be able to work with the banks to write down the loan, to be able to decrease the amount you have to pay to get through this difficult time. I don't remember which one. I mean, the bill is... You know, it's pages. Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, that the lady said, if people losing their jobs, how are they going to stay in their houses? That was my question on the tax benefit. It's a great idea to have a tax benefit to buy a car, as long as I got a job so that next month I can make the payment. It's a great idea to put up a $15,000 free down payment, forgivable loan, basically. to buy a house. That's great. As long as I got a job to be able to pay next month's, I don't care if the mortgage payment's $150. I still got to have a job to be able to pay $150. So it will be interesting to see how all this comes together. Remember, we didn't get here overnight. You know, I mean, you know, this has been a decaying situation for about, you know, give or take 8 years. You know, give or take. And so, you know, this man that we have elected to be president is as good as you can get. He has surrounded himself with the brightest people I have ever seen in government, who have great common sense too, and that's really important, both to understand the real world as well as be academically brilliant. And he's going to get us on the road, but the road is a long road. And I told some students last night, I spoke to the University of Louisville student government, the student senators, about 60 student government people. And they were all talking to me about what's the career to go into and what do I do. And I said, the best thing that we all have to hope for is that 2009 gets over quickly. Because as soon as 2009 is over, we got 2010. And that, I think, is the year that people, and going back to this gentleman talking about economists, there's an awful lot of economists that are saying that's the year we're going to begin to see things change. And your question back is, yeah, but what about the person who's going through it right now? And there is some neighborhood stabilization money that we have, that cities like us have, and we're applying for more from the state to be able to keep people in their homes. We have set up a central location for financial advisors to work with people who are going through foreclosures. We have all the numbers of all the major banks around the world who have your mortgages because they were sold and resold. And we see anywhere from 25 to 50 people a week, they're telling me. And we've got about 17 financial advisors, housing advisors. The city's paying for it. We got a $900,000 grant through the housing partnership to be able to put that together. So that's what we're doing right now in hopes of helping. Right. Separate the investment banks from the banks.
Right. And write off, not bail out, this insane bundling mechanism that is deductible to you. Why is that not a better idea?
I'm not sure that's not going to ultimately be a part of what Secretary Geithner fills in the blanks that he set forth yesterday to Congress in terms of the broad parameters of how to spend that $350 billion to go. For example, he was talking about creating what Wall Street Journal calls a bad bank, that would take all the toxic assets out of the existing banks, give them the opportunity to get back in the loaning business because they're not carrying this load of non-performing loans, and create that bad bank as one that we own as Americans. And the reason why we can own it is because we can hold it for 20 years or 30 years or whatever it takes to begin to ultimately ensure that those are paid off to an extent. I only took 6 courses in economics, so I'm going through as far as I can go with you on this. But it is very confusing. There are a lot of ideas that are out there. And you know, as I said to you earlier, when I was sitting with those three people who really are leading us, Summers, Geithner, and Rome, we tapped them on the shoulder. It was the mayor of Chicago, myself, and the mayor of Albuquerque. We tapped them on the shoulder. They turned around when we were at that presentation by President Obama, and we said, we hope you guys know what you're doing, because we're following you, and you got to get us out of this. And the guys and the gal looked at us and said, holy Toledo, we understand. But it's such uncharted waters. Everybody's trying to do what's right and not what's wrong. And thus far, we haven't done real well on the banking side. And thus far, with our new president, it looks to me like we're moving in the correct way in terms of the stimulus side. Thank you all for the opportunity to visit, and I hope I get to come back another time. Thank you.